My dearly beloved in Christ, as you noticed, in this third Mass of Christmas, the gospel is the normal gospel that we read at the end of the Mass, which is the first, I think, 14 verses of St. John's gospel. Those very mysterious words, "In the beginning was the Word," meaning God the Son, "and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Very clearly pointing out the divinity of our Lord. And then later on, he says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." And what does that mean? It means that God the Son came down into this world and united himself to a human nature and was born like other men and lived a life of prayer and of suffering and end up consummating that life at the age of 33 by dying on the cross for our salvation. And we must remember that Jesus Christ was truly man. He was God, is God, and is also man. That means he had a human nature like ours. Our Lord became tired. He was hungry. He wept at the death of his friend Lazarus, and he wept over the city. He was indeed had a human nature. And why did God the Son become man? Why did he assume this human nature? In order to redeem us, to die on the cross for us, to make it possible for us to get to heaven. Now, the Feast of Christmas, of course, is one of the greatest of the year. We do not only celebrate the birth of our Lord at Bethlehem some 2,000 years ago, but we celebrate the threefold birth of God the Son. And that is why every priest is privileged to offer three masses on Christmas. One, in honor of the eternal birth of God the Son, generated by God the Father, a process that has been going on for all of eternity. God the Father begets God the Son. The second birth would be that of our Lord in Bethlehem as man. And the third birth is the birth of God the Son into the hearts of those who accept him. And in that sense, that Christmas or that birth has been going on and will go on till the end of time. In baptism especially, a child or adult is baptized and receives for the first time the life of grace, becomes a temple of the Holy Ghost, and we could say that all three persons of the Holy Trinity take up their abode in that soul. And when a soul falls into the state of sin, through a good confession, our Lord is reborn in that heart. So this birth in the hearts of the faithful goes on all of the time. And another birth of our Lord, we could say, that goes on all the time is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Now we know from our catechism and from the teachings of the Council of Trent that the Mass is the unbloody renewal of the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. Because in every Mass, Christ offers himself to his Heavenly Father for our salvation. But we could also say that every Mass is like another Christmas. Because at Christmas, our Lord was born into this world. At the Mass, our Lord comes down upon the altar. He is born, we might say, upon the altar. And in that sense, we could also say that every Holy Communion is like another Christmas, that our Lord is born into our hearts in Holy Communion. But this is the interesting thing about the birth of our Lord into the hearts and the souls of the faithful, and that is that God forces no one. We notice that in this gospel that we normally read at the end of Mass, the prologue of St. John's gospel. He talks about our Lord. He was in the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Well, who were his own? Our Lord was an Israelite. At least in his human nature, he was descended from the tribe of Judah. And so he came unto his own people. And so many of them did not recognize that this was their promised Messiah, that their prophets had been waiting for hundreds of years. So many things had been written about our Lord in the scriptures. So why did they not recognize him? They failed to recognize him because they were looking for an earthly monarch who would deliver them from the Roman subjection, who would be a great and strong earthly ruler. But if they had read carefully the prophets, they would have realized that our Lord was far different. He was a different kind of king. He was coming as a king of love to redeem us, not as an earthly ruler, but as a heavenly ruler. So sadly, our Lord was not recognized by so many. And of course, this same rejection or lack of recognition goes on even today and has gone on down through the centuries. So who recognizes our Lord? All of those who strive to cooperate with God's grace and live a life centered in their faith, a spiritual life, a life of prayer, a life of dedication to fulfilling their daily duties, to keeping God's commandments. These are the ones who recognize our Lord when he comes to them, and they recognize his will. So these are thoughts that we reflect upon on this wonderful feast of Christmas. We rejoice that our Lord came into the world 2,000 years ago in order to redeem us. But let us remember that he continues to come, but only to those who open their hearts to him, who prepare for his coming, who receive him into their hearts. May we always have hearts open, open to God's grace, receptive, ready to do the will of God and to receive all of the blessings that our Lord wishes to give us. And that, I believe, at least in part, is the real meaning of Christmas. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.